Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Vivek Ramaswamy joins us to talk about the open border, how to solve it. We talk about how to close the funding gap between conservatives and liberals. And then Senator Rick Scott joins us, and I ask him a very pointed question. Do lawmakers actually read bills? Do lawmakers actually read the bills that they're supposed to vote on? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with the most important organization in the country. It is a movement, tpusa.com. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit in San Antonio, Texas, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Candace Owens, Allie B. Stuckey, Alex Clark, Riley Gaines, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Get your tickets to our Turning Point Action Conference in Detroit, Michigan, tpaction.com. That is tpaction.com. Become a member today at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. It is the Charlie Kirk Show exclusive, so check it out right now, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
We have Vivek Ramaswamy with us. Vivek, I want to get into the invasion on the southern border. There's a new story out of the Washington Post that shows that Joe Biden is meeting with the president of Mexico to effectively bribe Mexico to slow down the invasion until after the election. Vivek, your reaction?
Well, look, I think it makes total sense, Charlie. It's about incentives. Forget conspiracy theories. Just talk about the alignment of incentives here. The very people who are in favor of effectively open border policies at the southern border are also the very people who are also opposed to voter ID requirements, to lowering the requirements to vote. That's not an accident. It's an electoral strategy. And if you look back to 2012, 2013, prominent Democrats were arguing this in academic essays in Politico magazine. The likes of Biden, even Mayorkas, Stacey Abrams, and others have said this is part of their lasting electoral majorities. Now you put a label on that, you call it the Great Replacement Theory, and it gets labeled a conspiracy theory. The reality is it's just plain incentives hiding in plain sight. They want to import long-run voters and stop the export of people who would have otherwise voted for them as well. That's why they're against the deportations. It's why they're favoring the mass migration. And we got to see through it to solve the problem.
Well, and it's also, it's outright bribery. The question is, Biden thinks this will work. He knows the border is a huge issue. So he's literally giving tens of billions of dollars under the table to the Mexican government. And it shows, Vivek, this problem can be solved. It is not some sort of abstraction. This can be solved.
The country that put a man on the moon can solve this problem, right? Man-made problems have man-made solutions, Charlie. Putting man on Mars, that's a problem of nature. And maybe we'll solve it soon and maybe we won't. But this is a clearly man-made problem. We've created the incentives for people to be here illegally. You want to stop the border crisis? Here's how you do it. Aquatic barriers in the Rio Grande. Put our own military on our own southern border, which people forget even Bill Clinton did. Actually, you had parts of the U.S. military stationed on the southern border. You can't do that today, they say. Yes, we can. Complete the wall. Stop giving money to Central American countries until each of them blockade their own borders from Venezuela to the southern border of Texas. End birthright citizenship for the kids of illegals. Stop funding sanctuary cities. And then take the millions who are here and start deporting them to their country of origin. Problem solved. It's not complicated. It's not a question of technical solutions. It's a question of willpower. It's a question of, do we actually want to do it? And the people in charge right now, to the contrary, have an incentive, including an electoral incentive, to keep the crisis intact. It's their best chance of securing electoral majorities.
Well, why is it that our leaders are so reluctant or willing to actually solve the problem, Vivek? I mean, you've spent time now around the political class. You just gave a great speech, by the way, to 250 of our top donors. They loved you. Those are patriotic donors. Those are the good ones in the movement. Yep. That love the country. But why do we not have the willpower? We do have the willpower, Vivek, to set up an office.
We, the people, do.
Yeah, no, but no, I'm saying the leaders have the willpower to set up offices in Turkey and in Doha to make sure that more Gazan Hamas people can come into the country. We have the willpower to make sure Zelensky gets his money. We have the willpower to make sure the FBI gets a new building. Why don't we have the willpower to do the most fundamental thing, which is to make sure we still have a nation?
We had the willpower to invade Iraq. You could go straight down the list. We had the willpower to mount invasions. We don't have the willpower to stop the invasion of our own border. No, actually, we the people do. The problem is actually the people in charge have incentives to be able to do deals with each other, right? So the interventionist crowd, which includes, Charlie, let's be honest, Republicans and Democrats alike, have a hierarchy of priorities. So many of those Republicans who innately would be on the other side of the border issue as centrist Democrats or even left-wing Democrats, you know, all else equal, even those centrist, milquetoast Republicans, I guess all else equal wouldn't like a border invasion at our own southern border. But a much higher priority for them is keeping that interventionist foreign policy agenda intact. And so what you have is them effectively doing a quiet deal with the centrist left, the institutional uniparty Democrat variety of it, to say that, okay, that's a higher priority for us. So if you get on board with that agenda and we have a bipartisan consensus to invade countries like Iraq and the Middle East, to fork over more money to Ukraine, to continue never-ending wars, that's a higher priority for us, in which case we're going to turn a blind eye on the southern border, which is the priority incrementally of the left. And of course, it's a priority of the left because that helps them get longer-lasting electoral majorities. So it's kind of this weird arranged marriage, actually, between the pro-war, interventionist, institutional wings of both parties that allow each one to have a tit-for-tat trade that allows the American people to suffer as a consequence.
What you're saying, Vivek, is different, though, than what the consensus is you hear from the puppeteers and propagandists on the media. They say, oh, we've never been more divided. What you're saying is actually that agreement, not disagreement, is at the center of gravity in the kingdom of Washington, yes. D.C.
Yes, and it's two layers of agreement. One's a dark side of it, and one's the bright side of it. The dark side of the agreement is the institutional class in Washington, D.C., the people who we supposedly elect to represent the American people, are not representing the American people, in many cases, in both political parties. So in a weird sense, the worst decisions we're making in Washington, D.C. right now are actually the bipartisan ones. There was bipartisanship around expanding FISA 702. It was not reauthorizing it. It was expanding it. I'm going to call it what it is. Bipartisan consensuses around forking over more money to Ukraine. Those are bipartisanship in action. And yet the other side, Charlie, is we're, as a people, not nearly as divided as we're taught to be. I've gone to the south side of Chicago. I've gone to inner cities across this country, mostly black, supposedly mostly Democrat audiences, who are dead set against, as every bit as much as you and I, against forking over that money to Ukraine, against the idea of an infiltration of our own southern border. And so the people of this country are way more united than they'd have us believe. And ironically, the leaders in Washington, D.C. are way more united than they'd have us believe. It's just that they're united against the interests of we the people. That's the perversion of this whole nightmare. And you got to see it to believe it. But once you do see it, you can't unsee it. And that's one of the things I've learned over the last year.
I totally agree with you. As you know, I talk to a lot of different people, and we're best known for our campus events that are going super viral right now, the most viral we've ever been. And outside of a couple, you know, lunatic fringe students, 95% we can come to agreement. We can come to clarity. Yeah. We can come to consensus that even the ones who think they're on the radical left, opening their eyes to how that is now the party of the oligarchy. And I want to talk about that, Vivek. As I mentioned, you did a wonderful job speaking to our donors this last weekend. We have over 300,000 donors at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. But it's important to remind people that the left is the party of the well-connected, of the closer to the power center than the Republican Party. Two questions, Vivek. Number one, is that a trend that will continue? Number two, how do we close the funding gap as conservatives, which I'm sure is something you've thought about, which is the benefit of being the party of plumbers, electricians, and welders is that there's more of you. The downside is that it's harder to raise money from those folks that are getting crushed by inflation and are basically being abused by their corporate masters. Vivek, your thoughts.
So a couple of things. I think young people are hungry for direction and purpose, Charlie. It's not that they're against what we stand for. It's that our Republican Party has failed to actually give them an alternative vision that we actually stand for ourselves. We can't just sit around criticizing the other side and their endless hypocrisies. We have to offer an alternative vision. And I think now's a good moment to do it. Because if you're 18 years old and 19 years old, what do you want? You want to stick it to the man. You want to stick it to the system. And 20 years ago, that was being woke, talking about systemic racism and invisible societal injustices. That began as a challenge to the system. Now that has become the system. And so now if you really want to stick it to the man on a college campus, try going to Columbia and calling yourself a conservative and say you want to get married to somebody of the opposite gender and have kids and stay married. Boy, is that going to be countercultural today, right? That's the new hippie move. That's actually the new countercultural move. That's how you stick it to the man today. And so I do think that that tidal wave is coming amongst people in age 19, 20, 21 age group, which is different even than your and my vintage, which I think is a little bit of a shift that not many people see coming. People like you and I who are going to college campuses do see it. And so I think that's an opportunity that the Republican Party, you know, largely has been a party for the last 20 years. It's been asleep at the switch, with the exception of Donald Trump and the America First movement waking it up. Are we going to seize and rise to that occasion and actually lead that movement of youths that is hungry for a different direction? I think we can, but that's a choice we got to make. Now, the question on the funding gap is a longer discussion, Charlie, is that part of this is we do have to actually awaken. People like even who are in the room of donors that we spoke to in California, those are the good kind. Those are people who we don't need to dance to their tune. Those are the people who actually share our foundational America First values, but like me have lived the American dream and want to use our own resources, not to just bequeath a bunch of green pieces of paper to our children, but to pass on that country to our children, a country greater than the one that we inherited, just as our founding fathers did. And I do think we can't just ignore this idea of the institutional elites. Well, you know what? They have the elites on the other side, but it's a good thing when you have people on our side that have real resources, have real actual seats at the table. I've been blessed with living the American dream. That's why I'm trying to be as generous and as if both from a private sector perspective and a philanthropic perspective as I can be. But so too do we need other people like those you brought together in that room to do the same thing. And then there's the mass uprising, which is going to happen not just through donations, but I see through a parallel economy and through an actual economic response that says, you know what, we are better off not just subsidizing the same companies that are spitting in our face, but creating new economic options through the private sector to stand up to the ESG cartel. So there's a lot there, but you asked a big question, and that'd be my answer.
I love it. And I think it's important because we must come up with comprehensive ways that we can finance our movement, because you know this, Vivek, we're outspent 10, 15 to 1 in certain sectors now.
Yep.
The wealthiest counties in the country almost all vote for Joe Biden. The wealthiest counties are all very Democrat, but the people are with us. This is a people movement that is ascendant. It is multiracial. It is multi-generational. And Vivek does a wonderful job of communicating to them. And by the way, we'll have some big announcements soon from Turning Point Action. Vivek, we're going to be doing some campus stuff together this fall. It's going to be really fun. Hey there. Investing feels overwhelming right now, doesn't it? So complicated, so many decisions. But leaving your money in the bank, not so great. It's losing value every single day. So if it's stressing you out and driving you nuts, invest with Noble Gold Investments. Their precious metals are simple and real. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but gold was. It's always been there through wars, disasters, and turmoil. Reliable, dependable, and authentic. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They've always had your back. Noble Gold Investments, American-based experts, will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. You'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you. No hassle, no call centers. Colin Plume runs Noble Gold Investments. We've had him on the show before. He's awesome. I love hanging out with him. He's terrific. I can vouch for his integrity and for his knowledge about gold and silver. In fact, I have my silver right next to me right here. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I have vetted them top to bottom. In fact, I know a billionaire that just made a very big purchase of gold from Noble Gold Investments. So visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin at each qualifying IRA investment. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Vivek, a lot of people are asking, what can I do? First, talk about your plans for this election year, Vivek. You've been traveling the country, motivating folks. Yeah. You have a very important voice. I think you're one of the most important people on the landscape and the movement. I'm a true believer. You know that. And then talk about that and then what people can do to actually effectuate change on the ground.
Look, I'll tell you what I'm doing. And I think that these are things that other people can actually do in their own lives as well. Two different prongs. One is, most importantly, how do we make sure that Donald Trump is elected as the next president? And that we have sizable enough majorities in the Senate and the House to drive through the full agenda we need to actually get through. Well, look, we talk to people in our own tribe. I think one of the things we need to get better at, you're doing this, Charlie, I'm trying to do it, I'm going to do it with you, I'm doing it in other places too, is go to the places where Republicans don't show up. That's a hard thing to do. You know, writing a check is important. We're behind on fundraising. And for those who have lived the American dream and have the ability to do it, you know what? Make the sacrifice that our founding fathers did. They didn't just pledge their lives and their sacred honor. They pledged their treasure, too. And I'll come back to that. But not necessarily everybody has enough money in this environment to be able to say you got to look after your family first. I respect that if money isn't the way you're going to support this movement. But then here's how you can, is make sure you're in a community, wherever it is, from central Ohio to where I am, to people from California, from sea to shining sea. You're going to be surrounded by people who are quietly harmed, quietly disgusted by what's going on with the Biden administration. I think you have a responsibility. Every person can do this. Take 10 people who you are near certain would never consider voting for Donald Trump, but to engage them in actual conversation, to say things like, you know what? You don't have to agree with everything we stand for. You just have to agree with the basic ideals of the country. Understand what's important to them. Bring them along. Actually getting people, every person who switches from a Biden vote is the equivalent of two votes because it's one less for Biden and one more for us. So that's a two-for-one investment. And I think that that takes courage, right? Americans have plenty of common sense. I've noticed that from traveling this country. What we lack is courage as a people. Well, you know what you can do? Show that courage in your schools, in your communities, in your parent-teacher conferences, and in your board meetings. That's most important. And then second, look, this is a longer conversation that goes even beyond the election. People are voting every day with their dollars, whether or not they know it. Stop subsidizing the actual causes, including through corporate America, including through capital markets, including through the products you buy or where you shop, to subsidize the very people who are spitting back in your face. And that's something that I think I'm focused on for the rest of this year. That goes beyond this year, too. Our change in this country isn't just going to come through politics. It's going to come through driving real change through the private sector, too. But we have an urgent mission for the next 7 months. That's the most important one. Show the courage. Actually make the sacrifice. Take the risk that your neighbors might tar you with some label that you're uncomfortable with. But that's what this country requires, and that's what I'm asking of you.
I love it, Vivek. The call to action is stay engaged, stay involved, keep the faith. This is going to be a long slog, and we have to focus on the states and the areas that matter the most. You're going to be lending your voice to the kind of grassroots, let's just say, movement of this country, and we have to grind this out. And I know you're spending a lot of time with Donald Trump, and I think that you should be as closely involved in that as possible. Final thoughts here, Vivek.
Final thoughts are complacency is also not an option. And I say this to everybody who's working on the Trump campaign. I say this to everybody across the country. We can look at the poll numbers now and pat ourselves in the back. Forget about that. It's nonsense. The other side has been one step ahead consistently. And you know that red wave that never came in 2022? Well, you know what? I think we're at risk of something similar happening this year unless we get past complacency and actually start taking action. You don't like early voting? Too bad. You got to play by the rules to win and change the rules. So that's my closing message. Complacency isn't an option. Don't sit on the laurels of the poll numbers. That's a dangerous trap we're falling into. For all we know, we might not even be running against Biden. Basically, get off your butts, take action in your community, and if you have the money to do it, support the cause too.
All right, Vivek, I know you got to run. Thanks so much. Joining us now is the great senator from the state of Florida who voted no on the foreign aid package and has been a great voice for our country and I hope becomes Senate Majority Leader, Senator Rick Scott. Senator Scott, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, thank you. But should we just call it the more immigration, pro-Hamas bill? Isn't that what we should call it?
Seriously.
Think about it. They put money in there so they could help put more money Hamas would get. And, we have an office now in Qatar where we can bring people on those flights that they're bringing so many thousands and thousands of people to this country, completely unvetted, would have no idea. And by the way, did you realize that the Gazans that they're talking about bringing in support Hamas?
This is the craziest idea ever. Thank you for mentioning that, Senator, because I've been talking to lawmakers all morning and they're saying I'm wrong. They say that the refugee thing is not a big deal. I have the text here. You actually read bills before you vote on them. I know that's an unusual thing in D.C., which I want to ask you about in a second. But can you just go into specific detail? This is $3.5 billion that is doing what exactly?
First off, let's put the number in perspective. When I got up here in January 2019, government was shut down because Trump wanted $1.7 billion to build the wall, right? So he wanted $1.7 billion to build the wall, and the Democrats, no, golly, no, we're not going to do anything like that. $1.7 billion, we can't spend money like that. But this is over $3 billion, okay, to basically continue to resettle people into our country. And as we know, they're completely unvetted. I mean, these people are not vetted. We're bringing them into our country. We have no idea if they even believe in this country. If they believe in our Constitution, we don't know if they're terrorists. We don't know if they're criminals. We don't. Oh, because we don't check their IDs and we don't individually interview them. So this is the craziest thing in the world that we would give Biden, who is completely lawless, more money to bring in people unvetted in the country, especially just the hot butt of the Middle East. I mean, there's polls that say 80% of Gazans support Hamas. I don't want Hamas supporters living on my street, living next door to me. I don't think anybody in this country does.
No, and by the way, not a single Republican voter does. I just want to understand, though, Senator, why did so many Republicans vote for this? And I don't mean this facetiously. Do they actually read the bills before they vote on them?
Well, first off, Mitch McConnell put a lot of pressure. I tell people when they're running for the Senate, you don't realize the pressure that you're going to get from Mitch McConnell. Like, you could get kicked off Commerce Committee if you don't vote his way. Oh, maybe that happened to me or happened to Mike Lee. Or he might, tell people not to give you money for your race because, he doesn't want you to win. Right. There's a lot of pressure up here. And look, there's a lot of people saying, I want to help Israel. I want to help Israel. I was part of Roger Marshall's group. We forced a vote. Every Democrat voted against helping Israel. But we're not helping Israel when we give money to Gazans who give money to Hamas. We are not helping Israel. We are not helping Israel. I don't care what you think. And then behind the scenes, Chuck Schumer said that McConnell had a pact with him that they would not do any aid for Israel without aid for Ukraine. And not just military aid for Ukraine, we're going to pay for their politicians' salaries. We're just going to put money into their government, let Zelensky spend the money where it was. Now we'll monitor the military stuff, but the other stuff, how do you even monitor it?
So I want to just make sure our audience understands. So you didn't vote Mitch McConnell's way previously, and he exacts revenge on you, and you got kicked off a committee. I think that's important for our audience to understand. That's how D.C. works. It's power politics. It's the mob. It's not about representing your voters. It's not about reading the text and is it good for the country. It's that any sort of access to prestige is then gatekept by the leader. Can you tell us that story again, please?
So as you know, I'm fed up with the way this place is run. So I ran on the first person. The only person, but with support of guys like Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, J.D. Vance, people like that. I ran against McConnell to be the leader at the end of the 22 cycle. And so he rushed the vote to the next day. Not actually supposed to be until January. We voted the next day. I didn't win. All right. And then I got kicked off Commerce along with Mike Lee because Mike Lee, you know, supported me and he proposed me with Ron Johnson. So then, and Mike Lee and I basically had done in the last, since I've been up here, I'd been up here 4 years at that time, probably did 80% of the amendment votes on the Republican side. We did. And so we, you know, we got kicked off the committee. Right. There's different, you know, rankings of committees. So Mike Lee, we and I got kicked off. But it's my understanding other people got like a bunch of committees. And so they get to represent their states better than we get to because we don't kowtow to Mitch McConnell. I don't work for Mitch McConnell. I work for the people of Florida. And I think everybody ought to just take that attitude. We represent our states.
Yes, this is not a radical proposition. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229, or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the preborn banner. Also, save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner. So I want to now just zero in on this. The Biden administration is saying they're going to bring people from the Middle East, brought to you by these new satellite offices that were established in the foreign aid bill. Is there anything we can do to stop this?
No, because the Democrats are allowing, the Democrats in the Senate, all right, are, and they, because they control the Senate right now, they are allowing Biden to be lawless. So I'll give you a quick story. After Afghanistan withdrawal, okay, I'm on Homeland Security. We said, we're not going to have a committee meeting. We're a 50-50 Senate unless you tell us what happened. So the Democrats said, great, we'll give it to you in a classified setting. So what I'm going to tell you, I got told in a classified setting, so keep it confidential. How many people came from Afghanistan? 77,000. How'd you pick them? They're at the airport. I said, how many were American citizens? 5,000. Special visas, 2,500. I said, do you know anything about the others? Nope. Do they have IDs? No, we didn't have any ideas. Have you interviewed them individually? No, we haven't interviewed them. Do you know where they are in this country? No. So 70,000 people came from Afghanistan. Do you wonder why we have people that hate this country? I'm sure there were some wonderful people in there, but how many people that hate this country does it take? And you can look at our campuses now. We got people that just hate our country and hate our allies on Columbia and UCLA on these campuses that just hate our country. I want them to go live in Gaza for a while. Go to, hey, Hamas, we love you. Go tell them that. We want to be here to help you and see how it goes for you.
Senator, just really quickly, Mike Johnson said repeatedly, no Ukraine money without border security money. Essentially, he was saying, we want to have a stricter immigration before we have any sort of foreign aid. We've got the opposite. We actually have more people coming into the country than securing our border. I'm going to ask you a question I've asked you before. It's a little bit abstract. Why is it that the members of the U.S. Congress, House and Senate, who are tasked with defending the country, have such contempt for our nation?
I have no idea. Think about it. Our number one issue is keep Americans safe. Keep Americans safe. The number one issue, in my opinion, of the federal government is keep us safe. The bill that passed does not make America safer. It did nothing to secure the border. And we're going to now make sure that we bring more people across and we're going to support Gazans, which is support Hamas. How is that making America safer? It is not making America safer.
Really quickly, Senator, what is the call to action to get you to be Senate Majority Leader? What does that look like? I think we are going to take the Senate, so we have to really hit that hard if that happens. I think Tim Sheehy's going to win. I hope Bernie Moreno wins. I think Larry Hogan's going to win, which will be whatever, but it's an extra vote. I think Kari Lake is going to win. I really think we're going to have a good Senate map. What does it look like to make sure that it is not the McConnellite tradition that continues.
So here's what we're doing. I'm seriously considering running again. And what Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, and I are doing, and some others, is we're saying, why don't we stand for something? Why don't we, let's sit down as a group. We've had these conference meetings, say, let's stand for something. Then once we decide what we stand for, it's easy to pick leadership. I've built companies all my life. What we did is we said, what do we stand for? What do we want to get done? And then what's our mission? And then we put together a management team. That's all this is. The leader of the Senate is not to be the dictator. The leader of the Senate is to help people accomplish their goals and accomplish Republican goals all across the country.
Love it. Senator, thank you. We have your back 100%. If you do run again, we're going to be right there after the election for that fight. That's a big fight, that leadership fight. Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Bye, Charlie. Take care. Bye-bye.
Last evening, Columbia University got cleared out by the police. And this is just one of my favorite tapes ever. It's long, but it is a reporter who grills a Columbia student. This is one of the leaders. She is one of the spokespeople for the revolution. And she's upset that she can't get her Uber Eats. She can't get her vegan milkshake. Humanitarian aid, she calls it. So you storm and occupy a building and perform an academic insurrection, and then you complain that the university is not bringing you donuts. It's a longer clip, but it's excellent, and it is a perfect picture and a window. By the way, this individual, this is not a joke, this is what happens when you send your kids to college. She might have conservative parents, for all we know. She is studying poetry through a Marxist lens. I'm trying to find the exact... Yeah, here it is. She's a paid instructor and a PhD candidate at Columbia University studying theories of the imagination and poetry as interpreted through a Marxian lens. Now she's demanding that Columbia administrators bring food and water to protesters illegally occupying Hamilton Hall. She's studying poetry. It is time to collapse these universities, defund them completely, and turn them into data centers. Cut 77.
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building. Now, would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Violently stop them from bringing us food. So let me get this straight. They want room service because they've taken the entire university hostage. And they call that humanitarian aid. The entitlement. But this is taught. This is taught to them by their leaders, by their teachers, by their professors. The world revolves around them. Mayor Adams says there's a movement trying to radicalize our children. I'm not going to allow that in New York City. Hold on, Mayor Adams. The entire New York public school system is radicalizing our children. You are subsidizing it with your pride parades, the tranny nonsense. You are a failed mayor of New York City. You're a disgrace to the profession. And when you decided to talk a little bit about illegal immigration, they raid you. You are co-sponsoring the radicalism. And only now are you backtracking because A lot of people in New York do not like what's happening at Columbia. You are an enabler, Eric Adams. Play cut 79.
And I know that there are those who are attempting to say, well, the majority of people may have been students. You don't have to be the majority to influence and co-opt an operation. That is what this is about. And so if we want to play the word police, you could do so. I want to play the New York City police, where we're going to protect our city from those who are attempting to do what is happening globally. There is a movement to radicalize young people. And I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it. This is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children.
Wait, are you describing New York City public school teachers? Professionals that are radicalizing our children? That sounds like your average fourth grade teacher in downtown Brooklyn. They're grooming kids to be trans. They're grooming them to hate the country. Is that what you're talking about, Mayor Adams? Don't be mad at the monster you created. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.